Hello, and welcome to the Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud podcast. For the last 35 years, I've had the opportunity to learn with educators at all levels, both nationally and internationally. In each of the coming episodes, I'll explore my thoughts and my learning on a variety of topics connected to teaching, learning, and leading. Thanks for listening in. Maximizing learning. Today, I've asked my colleague, Don Jacobs, from PLS Third Learning to join me for this episode. He and I have been in a few conversations on some projects we've been working on where I presented this as the goal for educators, looking at the design of the school day. And the goal would be, how do we create an environment where the largest number of students are spending the greatest amount of time engaged in the most appropriate learning activity and behavior? And I'd like to explore that through two initial lenses. The first one being the teacher, both individually in his or her planning, and the teachers collaboratively in professional learning communities. So how do I plan with that thought in mind that I would have students engaged for the greatest amount of time in that most appropriate behavior? And then secondly, I'd like to look at it through the lens of school leaders. As you walk through the school, as you observe and talk with students, to be asking yourself that question, how much of the day is the student engaged so that they're getting the greatest return on the time and energy that they're investing in that school day? So, Don, the piece that's driven me in this direction has been my thinking during probably the last 15 years, where I switched my focus as a school consultant. I switched my focus from being in classrooms and watching what teachers are doing to instead being in classrooms watching what students are doing. And I've come to that thought that it's students who create student achievement rather than the teacher creating student achievement.
Well, to that point, Steve, and you and I were both in classrooms for a long time. The question that I think is worth talking about, thinking about in relationship to this topic is, what is that role of the teacher in the classroom? What does that classroom ideally look like? Without having a teacher-centered classroom, what does that really mean?
I'll tell you the first picture I had with that, but I've gone a lot further with it. My first picture was, I was seeing the teacher as the orchestra leader, and thinking of the students as the orchestra, and so that first picture, in effect, the teacher's back is to the audience. It's the students who are doing the work. And the teacher is in this conducting role, pulling more in, holding back a little bit. But I realized after some time that picture was still too much teacher control, because you've got to follow you may be the performer, but you've got to follow the direction of that orchestra leader. And for me, it's really the student taking on an ever-increasing role in the decision-making process and that investment process of learning. Now, sometimes when I've made that statement that I make the statement that teachers don't cause student achievement, students cause student achievement. I get some kickback from teachers, thinking that I'm suggesting somehow that their role is not important or less important. And in all reality, to me, I've really raised the level of a teacher.
Yeah,
I've described it's easy if I could break the kid's head open, stick in there what needs to have in there, and then stitch it back up. My job would be a whole lot easier. But to create that environment that causes the student to do what needs to be done, and knowing that that's different for different students, and that what I did last year to cause that to happen may not work at all this year because of the change in that student.
So if I'm an observer of that classroom, Steve, I'm a peer, or I'm a school principal, or I'm a coach, what am I looking for? What constitutes a terrific, vibrant, dynamic, student-centered classroom?
That question needs to be asked of the teacher, because it's different all the time. I remember reading Phil Schlechte's book years ago on engagement. And people were doing walkthrough forms where they were measuring student engagement. And Phil raised the issue that you really could not decide what engagement was unless you could talk to the student. And you certainly couldn't do it on a quick observation. So if you came in and you saw a student hard at work trying to solve a math problem, it's a big difference whether he's on his first attempt or his fifth attempt. If he's on his fifth attempt, he's really engaged, okay? And then Phil used the term that the ultimate engagement was the student was volunteering their engagement.
That's terrific.
So when you give kids a break, and you got some kids who choose not to take the break because they're engaged in that, but now I got to take it to another level. And that is, I've got to be able to make the connection between the activity the student is engaged in, and the outcome. So, as an observer, I'm constantly asking the teacher, what's the most important student behaviors you need during this learning activity? So then I can observe which students provided that behavior, and I can give that feedback back to the teacher, because sometimes the activity I chose as a teacher got a rather large group of students to engage in that most appropriate behavior, but it missed on some others.
Steve, I've heard you talk about outcome behaviors and production behaviors. Can you tell me what the difference is between those and what to look for in each of those behaviors?
I've started using the term outcome behavior as the one that tells me the student has reached the achievement or reached the standard. So if I've got a standard that says that a student can read a passage fluently, then I've got to define what fluently looks like and sounds like. And when the student is performing at that, that's my outcome behavior. My production behavior is when a student isn't reading fluently, what is the activity I engage the student in, which if the student practices that activity for enough time and enough investment in the practice, it will lead to the outcome behavior. So my example with fluency is a teacher who has a student take the iPad, read into the iPad, then listen to their own reading, and decide whether or not it was fluent, and practice it enough until the student's ready to bring the iPad to the teacher and say, I'm reading it fluently. So that practice and listening is in effect the production behavior.
And a terrific use of iPads.
You know, what I mentioned, it's got to be the appropriate behavior. I recall doing an observation with a high school principal where we were in about 8 classrooms in a row, and in each of the 8, we saw a teacher lecture presentation. And the lecture presentations ran from a strong teacher presentation where the teacher had a lot of listening behaviors on the parts of the students, on to the end of some poor ones where it was rather obvious there wasn't any student learning behavior going on while the teacher was lecturing. But as I walked the halls with the principal, he was sharing with me his struggle with having seen so much of that. And we now entered a classroom, and kids were in groups of 4, and they were playing Scrabble. And it was near the end of the Scrabble game, and they were down to the last couple of tiles, and the excitement and the energy was palpable. And I saw the principal smiling, and as we stepped out into the hall, he turned to me and he said, now, that's what we're looking for in engagement. And I turned to him and said, correct. Now the question is, did the activity have anything to do with the standard that the teacher's looking to cause the students to achieve? And the fact that the teacher used the term Scrabble Friday, it gave me a little bit of concern.
Indicating that that standard might not have been taught every Friday for 40 weeks a year. Yeah.
And so I'll pull this together and put that thought out there, because it's, to me, this is the challenge to us. How do I move ever and ever close to it? The largest number of kids spending the greatest amount of time engaged in the most appropriate learning behavior. Recognize how difficult that would make whole group instruction. So the number of times that I could be doing whole group instruction,
fairly
whole group activity,
fairly limited,
that it's hitting the greatest need of most of the kids. And I really think that in order to get here, we've got to reach a level of empowerment of the learner, because I don't think the teacher can take on the responsibility to make this happen. I think the teacher has to create the culture, the climate, the motivation, the engagement. But eventually, the students need to be able to tell us when the activity or the task that we've given them to do isn't getting them there. Thanks, Don.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks for listening, folks. I'd love to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.